Okay, this is my top 10 adaptations of A Christmas Carol. I am joined by the Horror Stream Live. Normally I'm on his show. Today he's on mine.
Hello. Hey, agent. Thanks a lot for having me here. And I will say, Merry Christmas to everyone, by the way. I'm sorry that the Horror Stream Live is not helping you get through the holidays. And what I like to say as often as I can throughout the holidays, because for some reason, some people find it depressing if you don't have a lot of friends and if you're not surrounded by a lot of friends and family. Whereas other people are, it can kind of be a little bit depressing. What I like to say is you can change anything in your life. You can change that. If there's something that you want in life, you can start today to build that. So if you are not surrounded by as many friends and family as you would like to be this holiday season, you can change that. It's up to you, and you can do it. Just lickety-split. But anyway, outside of that, thanks for having me, agent.
Glad to have
It's
you.
shocking to me, the volume of content that you consume. We've got a lot of videos to make over Christmas horror movies because you've seen so many. You've done what, five different top 10 lists for Christmas alone.
Yep, and I've
So if
seen over 200 Christmas horror movies.
Christmas horror movies. I didn't even know that there was 200. Well, I guess I kind of did, but it's shocking. So when so you're really gonna get a treat here because agent has what seen them all or almost them all or
Yeah,
so
almost
many.
all. There's probably a few I haven't seen here or there.
But he's pretty much seen them all. So here are his lists, which he's had to make five lists instead of just one.
Yep.
But anyway, thanks for having me again, and I guess we can get started whenever you want.
Okay. A Christmas Carol is a horror-adjacent Christmas-themed book written by Charles Dickens, and it has had multiple movie and TV adaptations over the years. These are my top 10.
Okay, and number 10.
Bah Humduck, a Looney Tunes Christmas. In this adaptation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, Daffy Duck is the greedy proprietor of the Lucky Duck Mega Mart, and all he can think about is the money to be made during the holiday season.
Okay, and let's check out the trailer.
Want the holiday movie that's got it all?
Happy holidays, Mr. Duck.
Bah Humduck!
Look for the all-new original movie, Bah Humduck, A Looney Tunes Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Based on the classic tale, A Christmas Carol.
What do I look like, an ATM?
But with Looney flair.
What's up, Duck?
This holiday hit comes with action. Romance.
My Christmas kitty.
And suspense.
Your toes.
With all your favorite Looney Tunes characters.
Yeah, assistant manager, it would be a Porky Pig reporting for do service, sir.
Teaming up from the past, present, and future.
Christmas future.
To help teach Daffy Duck the true meaning of Christmas.
You mean a big, big booty. Holy for holy, you can say that again.
Plus, get your wish list of DVD extras.
Now that's the kind of holiday jingle I like to hear.
Look for the all-new original movie, Bah Humduck, A Looney Tunes Christmas, only on DVD, just in time for the holidays.
Can I please have a second chance?
Oh, that looks like a lot of fun.
It was.
So I grew, well, I think we all, I guess we all did. We all grew up on Looney Tunes. Because I grew up on Looney Tunes. My parents sort of had Looney Tunes, and Looney Tunes is still around today. So, like, they've been around a long time. There's still Looney Tunes cartoons out there, isn't there?
Yep.
Yeah. And I just saw all the classic cartoons right there in this film. And what better way to do, you know, what better story to have them all come in on than A Christmas Carol. That's excellent. Yeah, definitely check that one out. Again, one of the things that I like about Agents List is they're usually about fun. And that is kind of the purpose of a horror movie, if you ask me anyway. Anyway, what do you got for number 9?
Christmas Carol the Movie, animated version of the classic Charles Dickens story, warned by the ghost of his old business partner, Marley, that his sins would lead to punishment in the afterlife. The cruel and greedy Scrooge is visited by the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future to show him how the course of his life led him to where he is and where it will lead if he doesn't change his ways.
Yeah, and before we get too much further, another thing I'd like to talk about is horror adjacent things. There's a lot of content that's really not horror, but it's almost horror, or it has some horror elements in it. So that's why they, you know, like, and this one, and A Christmas Carol, let's be honest, it's not horror, but it does have ghosts, and it has some adaptations of it have some scary moments, some truly frightening moments. And there is some horrific things that happen in the movie, although, you know, it's more of a drama horrific thing, a dramatic horrific thing. But it's because of the ghosts that this becomes kind of horror adjacent. And oftentimes when people talk about Christmas horror, they do put A Christmas Carol, although it's not horror, it's almost horror in this category. So that's why A Christmas Carol is kind of horror adjacent. Do you have anything to add to that?
Nope, you said it perfectly.
Okay. So let's... and I have a... The reason I said that is because I have a funny feeling that this animated version of A Christmas Carol won't be very scary. That's just my guess. But let's check out the trailer.
Good evening, Mr. Dickens.
This is indeed a great honor.
Please welcome Mr. Charles Dickens.
I'd like to entertain you with the story of ghosts. Ghosts past, ghosts present, ghosts yet to come.
Mend your way,
You'll have to see the film to find out the rest.
Humbug!
Holy, Kate Winslet and Nicolas Cage in that one. Who else? Did I miss some?
Yeah, I think you did, but I didn't catch it either.
But I was wrong. That does have some spooky, scarier moments in there, too.
Yep, and that's actually why it's on this list.
Right. So sometimes... Okay, so some horror can be kiddified, and some people hate that. I do not hate that. I think, you know, like, it's kind of like your Halloween decorations, where the ghosts are kind of childlike and kind of smiling even, maybe, and your witches, we know the difference between a scary witch and a sort of a cartoony, kid-friendly witch. And oftentimes that their horror is kidified. And I'm all for that. I like it all. Do you like both versions, horror?
Yep.
Yeah, Agent. I'm calling you me. Yeah, I'm all for both types of... And I didn't know that this... If you've got something animated, and I guess if... Well, if you got something animated like this, it can be animated for adults or it can be children. And let's be honest. Kids were exposed to a lot more horrific stuff in the old days. It's only now that everything continues to get more and more sanitized and, you know, kidified. I'm still okay with it, but just think of your father getting bitten by a wolf while he was out plowing the field in 1800 and then coming home and you see him walk through the door without an arm because the wolf's got it. You know, those are the types of things that kind of happened, and kids were exposed to a lot more horrific stuff back in the day, whereas today everybody and adults too, we're all getting more and more sanitized. For example, I guess you're a bad example, Agent, because you're a vegetarian, right?
Yeah, almost vegetarian. I do eat sausages.
Right. But, for us meat eaters, how many animals have you killed to eat? None. That's most of us. But back in the day, you know, killing animals was common practice. Whether it be cutting the head off of a chicken or shooting the buffalo or using a spear for the buffalo, whatever. Shooting rabbits, shooting deer, all that kind of stuff. But anyway, I'm okay with the kidifying, and I'm okay with the, you know, sort of full-out horror, adult horror, kids horror. And that one seemed a little bit more adult adult animation. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But it certainly looked good. And Kate Winslet and Nicolas Cage in that. I've never heard of this one until now. Actually, I've only heard of one. And that's the next one you have on the list. Well, sorry, that's not true. I've heard of more, but I'm not really familiar. The next one, your number 8, is the one I'm most familiar with. Anyway, what do you got for number 8?
Scrooge from 1951. Ebenezer Scrooge malcontently shuffles through life as a cruel, miserly businessman until he is visited by three spirits on Christmas Eve who show him how his unhappy childhood and adult behavior has left him a selfish, lonely old man.
Okay, let's check out the trailer.
I can't pay you, sir.
I'm not surprised.
Not unless you give me more time.
Did I ask you for more time to lend you the money?
Oh, no, sir.
Then why should you ask me for more time to pay it back?
Hard and sharp as flint he was. You ask Bob Cratchit about him. This timid and intimidated little clerk is portrayed by Mervyn John. Mrs. Cratchit by Hermione Baddeley. The little lame boy, the great-hearted Tiny Tim, is played by Glyn Dearman. Michael Horden gives a spirited portrayal of Jacob Marley, the ghost who changes Scrooge from sinner to saint. Co-starring with Alistair Sim in delightful character roles are Jack Warner and Kathleen Harrison.
Don't be violent, Mr. Scrooge, sir. You forced me to scream for the beadle.
The beadle, madam? A thing for the beadle.
A guinea? Here, what for?
To be so happy.
I've never seen the trailer to that movie. I've seen the movie many times. This is one of the few movies, I guess, that I have seen multiple times. But yeah, that one, it's probably just because it was my father's favorite, or it's the one he chose each and every time, and it's the one I've seen the most, that it's my favorite, but it's not my favorite. Is a very uneducated, unsophisticated view of them, because I haven't even seen most of them. Whereas Agent, you have, and you put that one at number 8.
Yep, because of the actor playing Scrooge. That was one of the best performances as Scrooge. There's actually several on this list because of Scrooge, the actor playing Scrooge, by the way.
Right. Okay, so yeah, that's the one I'm most familiar with. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's the most popular one. Am I not?
Yeah, I think it is the most popular one, because it was the first one I saw growing up.
Yeah, and it was always, this one was always on television, and it was always, you know, and when a Christmas Carol came on television, we wouldn't watch it. We'd wait for this one, but maybe that's because legit or not legit, I have no clue. I think it was the most popular. Outside of, I think maybe a future one, the one with Bill Murray. That one might, but I don't know. I think maybe the 51 version is still more popular than the Bill Murray version. Although I really like that one too. But
yeah,
anyway.
Bill Murray version I liked, but it doesn't make this list because it didn't, as there were 10 higher up than that one.
Wow. So that just goes to show you. Was there any bad A Christmas Carol movies?
Yep, there's a few. There's like one that gender swapped Bob Cratchit, turning him into a her.
Probably,
and then there's
modern.
The one with Scrooge and Marley as a gay couple.
Oh God!
More and then modern. There's the one that where Scrooge was played by Patrick Stewart, which didn't have wokeness. It's just Patrick Stewart is not a very good Scrooge.
Wow. Okay. So there you go. I've liked him in a few things, but I've also really not liked him in most of the stuff that he's in. I don't like him. He's ultra woke and kind of stupid and just,
and a pretentious asshole.
Yeah. So there's a lot that I don't like him in, but I did like him as, in Star Trek and as Professor X.
Yep, and I liked him as the character Bullock in American Dad.
Never saw that one, but... So there's a few things that I like him in, but a lot of stuff, I'm just like, wow, this is kind of crap, and you're crap in it, and just this ultra woke, and just bleh. But anyway, okay, so what do you got for number 7?
Scrooge from 1935. Ebenezer Scrooge, the ultimate Victorian miser, hasn't a good word for Christmas, though his impoverished clerk Cratchit and nephew Fred are full of holiday spirit. In the night, Scrooge is visited by spirits of the past, present, and future. This is the second time Seymour Hicks played Scrooge. The first time was in the 1913 silent movie Scrooge. In other words, this actor has played Scrooge both in a silent movie and a talking movie.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's why this is on this list, because this actor is like, to do that, to go from silent movie and talking, same role in both, that takes a lot of talent. And yeah, this guy has a lot of talent.
This is the one that we would turn off, and maybe unjustly so, but just because it wasn't the 1951 version. But, you know, so I've never seen it, as most of them on this list I haven't seen yet. So, but I guess you like this one even more than the 51 version.
Yep.
Wow, okay. Well, I guess maybe I should give it a try someday. So let's check out the trailer.
Merry Christmas to you, Uncle, and God save you. Bah! Humbug. Christmas now. Cratchit, if I hear
hear another word from you, you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation.
You will be haunted by three spirits. Without their visits, you cannot hope to shun the path I tread. You shall behold the visions of a Christmas past, a Christmas present, and a Christmas yet to come. But have been. Look back beyond the gulf of vanished years.
I am the ghost of Christmas present.
God bless us, everyone.
Okay, that was a funny trailer. I guess it wasn't. It's more of a preview than a trailer, but yeah. All I can say is, you know, part of traditions are keeping things the same, and especially around the holidays, we tend to really worship tradition and sameness. And there's no logical reason why we didn't pick that one. It's just the one my dad grew up with, so it's the one we watched and the one he always wanted to watch each year, so it's the one we did watch. When we found it on TV, he would always announce it and sort of make an event out of it. So it's just tradition. But it's not logic as far as one movie's better than the other. It's just literal nostalgia, tradition. So that one looks, and that's what that one's going to be in the public domain in a few years too. So that'll be interesting. So what do you have for number six?
A Christmas Carol from 1997. Miser Ebenezer Scrooge is awakened on Christmas Eve by spirits who reveal to him his own miserable existence, what opportunities he wasted in his youth, his current cruelties, and the dire fate that awaits him if he does not change his ways. Scrooge is faced with his own story of growing bitterness and meanness and must decide what his own future will hold, death or redemption.
Okay, let's check out the trailer.
Coming to video this holiday season.
A Merry Christmas to everybody!
It's an all-new animated musical version of everyone's favorite holiday classic, A Christmas Carol.
I am the ghost of Christmas present.
Tell me a tale about Christmas that's brimming with fun and good cheer. Tell me a tale to bring laughter and maybe the hint of a tear.
This heartwarming family movie stars the voices of Whoopi Goldberg.
I bet you've never had a guest like me before.
Ed Asner.
I've come to warn you.
Michael York.
I give you Mr. Scrooge.
Tim Curry as Scrooge.
Bah! Humbug!
And features original music and songs.
Oh, he never quite saw such a sight as Santa's sooty
see soon.
A Christmas Carol is sure to delight the entire family, and it's coming directly to video just in time for the holidays.
A song about Christmas. Give me a song of love.
A Christmas Carol.
So I was a little bit taken aback by the female ghost of Christmas Present, but it was Whoopi Goldberg, and this was kind of back in her days when she was still, she wasn't quite a lunatic yet. So I can see the allure. Tim Curry as freaking Ebenezer Scrooge? That's crazy.
Yeah, and that's why this one's on the list.
Did you... when you listen to it, can you hear Tim Curry, or is he doing such a different voice that you can't really tell?
No, it's one of those where it's like you can kind of tell it's him, but he's slightly different than normal.
Okay.
So he's done a lot of cartoon voices.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, he was so massive. And then, like, a lot of people, it's so weird. Like, I just saw... a singer that I grew up with, and she's like all old and she's in a wheelchair, and she still sings but in a wheelchair, and she's all super old and stuff, and I'm thinking it's weird how we want to see young and beautiful. There's good reason for it and all that kind of stuff, but we want to see young and beautiful all the time and healthy. And when our idols become sort of old and decrepit, we kind of don't want to see them anymore, which is not cool, but it's understandable, but it's not cool. But, I think that's what happens with a lot of actors. They just move to voice acting once they start to get, older, because Hollywood, let's be honest, is full of, the ultra attractive people, because that's what sells, and it's always kind of been that way. It's and rightfully or wrongfully, it's just the way it is, and it's a bit of both. But yeah, A Christmas Carol from 1997, another animated one. Tim Curry, holy cow, that's pretty cool. Okay, what do you got next?
A Christmas Carol from 2019. London, 1843. Ebenezer Scrooge, a bitter old man, despises the Christmas holiday. Over the course of Christmas Eve night, he is visited by three ghosts to show him his past, present, and future.
I heard about this one, but I just assumed that it would be so woke that I wasn't even interested in thinking about it.
Yeah, it wasn't woke. It was good. In fact, I would outright say this is the closest to true horror A Christmas Carol has ever gotten.
Oh, so this is the most horrific Christmas Carol that you've seen.
Yep.
And you've, to your knowledge, you've seen them all, right?
Yep.
So this is the beauty of Agent, is he's literally seen them all. How many people on this planet can say that? Not too freaking many. And so his choices and picks are coming from that knowledge base, is that he's seen every A Christmas Carol adaptation that is findable. You know what I mean? I'm sure there might be some obscure one from some other country somewhere.
Yep.
And, you know, like, and it's just kind of, you can't find it and it's lost almost. But generally speaking, of the findable stuff, he's seen them all, and I don't doubt it. It's shocking, his fountain of information. So when he gives you a top 10 list, you don't sit up and pay attention. Anyway, let's check out this trailer of the most horrific A Christmas Carol.
Why am I not allowed any peace?
The chain that you must now wear, Mr. Marley.
Reformed in your glory! Merry Christmas to you, Mr. Scrooge.
How many Merry Christmases are meant, and how many are lies?
For the welfare of the poor and destitute.
Are there no prisons?
Some would rather die than go there.
Then let them die.
What is this place?
It is the place where Christmas comes to die.
You seem to despise him even more than I do.
Let's not talk about him, not even once.
Why?
It's Christmas.
Prepare ye, Ebenezer.
You!
Enough! No, it was never enough. What was the purpose of our gross accumulation? You vandalized the world for this.
What would you do, Mrs. Cratchit, to have me hand you £30? Not as a loan, but as a gift.
There are no gifts!
This is not a game, Ebenezer.
I beg of you, enough.
I do this only for the life of my child.
Come and look upon the evil that you did.
I am a woman, and I have the power to summon such spirits, and I fucking will.
I don't know. I would say that that one looked a bit woke to me. Girl boss.
Yeah, that actually wasn't a girl boss. So that scene in the trailer, Scrooge raped her.
Right.
And then it's like she put a curse on him. That was basically what that was.
And a mixed relationship, mixed race relationship. She's... Her and her kids are, I guess, all mulatto. So black, white mix. It's just, to me, that I don't care who you want to marry, who you fall in love with. I have no problems with intermarriage. You know, like, I don't care. If you find Japanese women attractive, go marry one. I don't care. I'm not a Nazi white, you know, purist or anything like that. But I got a sense of some girl boss stuff there. And by the way, that character also played a background character. She was barely in A Christmas Carol, but now she seems like she's in the forefront because she's black and she's gonna, you know, I don't know. It just seemed like there was some wokeness there. And I have to say this. If you don't, I'm not talking about you in particular. I'm talking about anybody. So I'm just talking to the audience there. If you don't see wokeness in it, that doesn't mean it's not there. Propaganda has many layers.
Yeah, good point.
Some of it is beating you over the head and isn't, and shoving it down your throat, like real. But a lot of it is very subtle or less obvious. Some of it is extremely inobvious, and only an expert could ever even hope to pick it out. So there's many layers to propaganda, and that's what Hollywood is. It's basically just propaganda. So I was okay with the propaganda from long time ago. It wasn't too bad, but these days, but I guess maybe that has to do with my age and stuff like that. Some younger people would say that the propaganda of today isn't that bad. But when they get old, they'll say, oh, I long for, you know, the days, the propaganda of, you know, time gone of 20 years ago. The kids of that generation will say, oh, no, this is okay. So maybe it's an age thing. I don't know. But what was it that I was watching something and there was a modern adaptation? Oh, The Current Black Christmas. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I've seen all of them. And the 2019 Black Christmas.
No. The current one.
That is.
Oh, sorry. I'm getting this wrong. The current Silent Night. It just came out on theaters.
Oh.
So that's what I'm talking about. Guess what? Killer Santa, because it's a Killer Santa movie, and you've actually even put it on your Killer Santa movie list, right?
Yeah.
So the original Silent Night, Deadly Night. So this current remake, then there's been a few remakes of this film, multiple actually. But the one that's out at theaters right now, Killer Santa literally wanders into a Nazi Christmas party, and they're giving a speech. Now, you can say that the speech was bad if you're not a Nazi.
Okay, I haven't seen this one.
Right. But if you are a Nazi, then you would... if you are a Nazi, you would say the speech was good. But regardless, Killer Santa in this current adaptation of Silent Night, Deadly Night wanders into a Nazi Christmas party. Everybody is dressed as Santa. Everybody. And then there's, I guess, an awful speech happening, if you think that. And he kills everybody. He literally wanders into a swastika-waving Nazi Christmas party and kills everyone in the current Silent Night Deadly. This is the over-the-head, bang-your-head with propaganda stuff. And it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one, and I have no intention of watching it, hearing you describe it.
Well, and actually, it bombed in a spectacular fashion.
Good.
At theaters right now. In its opening weekend, it made $1 million, which is a complete and utter disaster for a movie. But I mean, it's literally, they literally shoehorned. And the problem, there's multiple layers of problems on this. And to the Nazis in the audience, you get to have your opinions, no matter how much I agree or disagree with them. Opinions should never be cause for murder. But literally, the Killer Santa is being praised in this scene because he's killing Nazis. And it's like, wow. This is how rabid these commies are getting. It's like literally in your face, out in the open, killing Nazis is A-okay. And it's been like that. They've been building to this, and it's okay, you know, since, I guess, World War II. Since World War I, maybe, even. And it's just, it's shocking to me how, and they call everybody that isn't a lunatic leftist a Nazi. So it's getting freaking crazy. But, so I'm ultra sensitive to commie propaganda and wokeness. I'm also not a Nazi, personally. I would rather have a Nazi as a friend than a commie as a friend, but I'm not a Nazi.
Yeah, one either, but I do have a few online friends who are that I like hanging out with because they're fun to interact with.
Yeah. If we really were going to talk deeply about everything, then we would probably, but on the surface, basically, you know, I can enjoy the company of a Nazi more than a communist, because these lunatic communists today, well, they're not really communists today. They're like working towards becoming communists. But anyway, Kristen Stewart came out and said, recently, that, and she's a, I can't stand her, but she's a super struggling with her career. So and to yip yap about communism is oftentimes a good way to get a job in Commiewood. So they do it, and they do it often. So when their career is failing, they come out with some commie yip yap, and then they get a job. And then their movie flops, but it's all funded through the back door. They don't care about, Hollywood doesn't care about flops, because it's all funded. You know where all those trillions of dollars go? in all those bills and stuff, the taxpayer, that's where it goes. Well, it's not just there, but that's one of the spot that it goes, is Hollywood. Just ton, the government pours money all over Hollywood for it to yip-yap about its commie agenda. And Kristen Stewart literally came out and was quoted as saying, Hollywood is failing because of racism and misogyny and homophobia. Hollywood is failing because of those three things. Oh, no, sorry. Capitalism, racism, and misogyny.
Oh, and speaking of, I shared a video earlier, like last night with you, that's right. Basically they're ruining Animal Farm, turning into a pro-commie, anti-capitalism movie.
Yeah. So they're literally rewriting history. So people are talking about them changing movies a little bit here and a little bit there. Oh, it's so much worse than that. But they've always done this. This is why when somebody says, read this book, I go, no. I said, it's, you know, like, I don't believe their history. I can't even believe them, what they tell me about what's happening out my window right now. Like, I'm looking out my window and I'm seeing stuff, and they're lying to me. They're gaslighting me about what I'm seeing. They're literally telling me opposites. And so I can't believe them with telling me what I'm seeing with my own eyes. I'm certainly not going to trust their history books. And I don't think anybody has the correct history book. I don't think it exists. And I've given up on the whole fucking thing. They're all a bunch of scumbags, and everybody's a mess in the head. Everybody. So I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to just tune out of this completely, because it doesn't help, because everybody's a mess. It's not like everybody's got it wrong and you've got it right. It's you've also got it wrong. Everybody's got it wrong, because that's what the whole thing is designed for. Barack Obama said it best. And he said, when everything everybody believes is a lie, we know we have won. That's propaganda for you. When everything everybody believes is a lie, we know then that we will have won. That's their goal. That's the goal, is to make everything a lie. And they do a great job at it. I was one of the, but anyway, we're getting a little bit off topic here. But yeah, I'm ultra sensitive to wokeness. Not that it really matters or whatever, because the commies keeps rolling through our society and they keep, you know, winning battles. And, you know, and so much of it gets, what's sad to me is it gets normalized. Like, for example, her being sort of this girl boss, and, you know, mixed marriages, which, again, I'm not against mixed marriages. But it's all just part of that cultural Marxism, part of that communist fucking rollout, even if it's just a little bit. Sometimes it's, you can't even see it. It's so subtle. Sometimes it's a little bit. Sometimes it's big. Sometimes it's gigantic. And so that's, they attack from all vectors, in all directions. And I can't stand any of it. I'm ultra sensitive to it all. So I did find that FX A Christmas Carol a little bit woke. I haven't seen the movie, obviously, but just from the trailer, I found it a little woke. I was like, oh.
And yeah, you do have points with that. But yeah, this, like I said, that made it onto the list because it was the closest to horror this has ever been. There's been, it's like they went over the top with the ghosts. There's like literal hell being shown in it. Literally, if Marley doesn't redeem Scrooge, he goes to hell, and we see what that's like in one scene. And Scrooge is significantly more evil than he is in other adaptations.
Mm-hmm.
So it is literally like full on the closest it's been to horror, and that's why it makes this list. But yeah, you do have a point about there's being a little bit of wokeness there too.
Now, here's what I think about it. Is like, I still want to be entertained and enjoy movies and stuff like that, and I do. When you see the wokeness, it can't hurt you. Because when you identify it, you go, well, that's bullshit. So that's the part. And then what do? I just continue on watching and enjoying. Like, you can't turn everything off just as soon as you see a bit of wokeness, because you won't ever watch anything ever. And maybe that's, you would say that that's great. Well, then you do you, and that's fine. But for me, this propaganda, if I identify it as communist propaganda, then it doesn't bother me. It's not damaging me. I could say that I don't want other people to get brainwashed by this communist propaganda, but I've kind of given up on, you know, other people doing the right thing and thinking, you know, properly. You know, like, I'm going to fix me. I'm not here to fix the world. So if I am educated and well-versed in communist propaganda enough that I can identify it myself for me, then I just identify it and go, oh, well, that's a bit of bullshit, but I can continue on watching the rest of it. But yeah, really rewriting Animal Farm to be communist propaganda. It was literally anti-communist propaganda before, and now they're going to redo it. They have no shame. There is no shame. The communists will, you know, it's all lies, nonsense, and bullshit, and they just keep plowing forward, and we let them. I tried to beg people during the scamdemic to not get the injection and not wear a mask and protest and push back on this, but they didn't in mass. Very few people joined me to push back, and most people just went along to get along. And I was like, oh my God, we're sliding into a freaking nightmare. And look at everybody around me is just playing sheep, following the leader. And I'm like, oh God, this is insane. But anyway, I survived. Actually, the people who resisted all survived. It's the people who played along that, you know, got their sicknesses and illnesses and, in, you know, mystery injections and neglected at the hospital, so they died and all sorts of nasty shit, and voluntarily destroyed their own lives, which, hey, if you're stupid enough to play along with it, and I'm glad you suffered. It's unfortunate that I suffered. You dragged me down with you, but, you know, if you want to be a dumbass, then do the crime, do the time, you know, sort of thing. But whatever, we gotta fucking get more sensitive. We gotta wake up sooner, because we can look at the things of in the past. Well, like the communist revolution in China, the Great Leap Forward. We can look at that and go, that was terrible, and that was awful. But that's too late. We need to do it in the moment. And the scamdemic was our chance to do it in the moment. And the majority of people failed, fully and completely failed at, you know, resisting totalitarianism and evil and all sorts of nasty shit in the moment. But so just identify it and then continue on. You don't have, you know, like, support small businesses. You know, support individuals rather than large companies, large corporations. And that's about it. That's all you can do. If you want to say things, if you want to try to educate people, do it a little bit now and again. But don't focus on trying to change minds, because it's not going to really happen. Just be a good person in your own little life. Make your splash in your immediate area. And let the world be what it wants. Because I realized that during the scamdemic. But again, propaganda doesn't hurt me as much when I see it. So I just try to see it, and then I've got my shield up. At least for that little bit. I can carve that little part out of the story and then still enjoy the rest of it. But if it's just woke from beginning to end, I have to turn
it off.
Yeah,
like the two I mentioned before with the gender-swapped Bob Cratchit and the one that had the Scrooge and Marley as the gay couple.
Yeah,
those two are literally, if I did a 10 worst, those would be 1 and 2 on the 10 worst. 3 would actually be the porn adaptation.
Oh, geez.
Because, yeah, they did a straight up porn one too, but somehow that is actually better than the two woke ones.
Well, probably, right?
Yeah.
What do they say about sex? When sex is good, it's really, really good. But when sex is bad, it's still pretty good. So, there's no such thing as really bad sex. I guess rape and, you know, pedophilia and, you know, the nasty shit, of course. You know, we're not talking about that. Talking about just regular sex. Even bad sex is good sex. Anyway, that's what the saying is. And there's a bit of truth in that. Anyway, the next up, I guess we should move on to the list.
Yep.
But I guess just because I know Agent and I share a lot of similar kind of political and philosophical viewpoints, and it's kind of good to get them out now and again in content so that you can share it and then find other like-minded people to hang out with and grow and stick together and resist tyranny, resist stupidity, and so on. But anyway, okay, so and you can still do that all and enjoy movies like Agent and I do. So like I said, I think the solution is identify it so that it's now in a bubble. You've sort of separated it from the whole. And it can't hurt you once you identify it. That's the way I look at it anyway. Anyway, number 4, what do you got?
The Muppet Christmas Carol. A retelling of the classic Dickens tale of Ebenezer Scrooge, miser extraordinaire. He is held accountable for his dastardly ways during nighttime visitations by the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future.
Let's check out the trailer.
Coming soon on video cassette, Walt Disney Pictures presents a Jim Henson production of A Classic Christmas Tale.
Bah, humbug.
He's the world's greediest man.
It's Ebenezer Scrooge.
Until the magical night he meets someone extraordinary.
Hello.
The Muppet Christmas Carol.
I'll drink to Mr. Scrooge, even though he is stingy and badly dressed.
Humbug.
There goes Mr. Humbug. There goes Mr. Grimm.
Do you think it's safe for us to be up here?
If they gave a prize for being me, the winner would be him.
Yes, Mr. Cratchit.
If you please, Mr. Scrooge, the bookkeeping staff would like to have an extra shovel full of coal for the fire.
Our assets are frozen.
How would the bookkeepers like to be suddenly
unemployed?
Heatwave! Oi! This is my island in the sun.
It's Charles Dickens' classic tale, as only the Muppets can tell it.
It's good to be heckling again.
It's good to be doing anything again.
Stuffed with holiday warmth and cheer.
Just a season to be jolly and joyous.
This is the movie to see, to share, to cherish with someone you love.
Thank you for making me a part of this.
Coming to video cassette this fall, it's the Muppet Christmas Carol.
God bless us, everyone.
Whatever.
Okay. So I've forgotten about that one, and I have seen it, and I loved it. So that was your number 4.
Yep.
Yeah, not much to say about the Muppets. Classic Muppets were friggin' fantastic. I remember when the Muppets came on in the evening when I was young, my parents would call me out, because they wanted an excuse to watch it. But it was like literally family entertainment.
Yeah,
there's
like a lot of guest stars that were really good. Like Vincent Price was in one episode of The Muppet Show. Then there was the Alice Cooper episode.
Yeah, so they had entertainment for both adults and children.
Yep.
So that's why it was, you know, great. And I love that show. And I love the Muppets Christmas Carol, too. I'd forgotten that I'd seen that one. So what else you got?
Number three, in All Dogs Christmas Carol, Charlie, Itchy, and Sasha itch and scratch their way through everything and anything in an effort to save Christmas from the wicked hellhound Belladonna, who wants to use dogs from all over the world to ruin Christmas.
Okay, let's check out the trailer.
This holiday season, give your family the biggest doggone present ever.
It's gigantically humongous.
An All Dogs Christmas Carol, premiering only on video. Charlie and Itchy are on their most incredible adventure.
It's up to you to save Christmas.
And this time, they'll be going where no dogs have gone before. Bring home all the fun and enchantment in this brand new holiday classic.
God bless us, everyone.
An All Dogs Christmas Carol, available now.
Oh, that was a short trailer.
Yeah.
So why is that one number three?
Mostly because I kind of liked how it's like basically put the villain from the original All Dogs Go to Heaven. He's the Scrooge character on it, and they're basically using it heavenly miracles to get that to pose as the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future, to get him to change so he will help them defeat the villain from this one.
Okay. And you like animated dogs.
Yeah, I like animated everything.
Yeah, especially dogs. Would you say?
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo and that one.
Yeah, you know what's funny is there's actually a Scooby-Doo adaptation of A Christmas Carol.
Oh, and did it make it on this list?
Nope.
Oh, wow. That's shocking.
It was from Be Cool Scooby-Doo. That particular Scooby-Doo show, while entertaining, had horrible animation style.
Hmm.
So it kind of doesn't make the list. If I did a second list, it might make it. But yeah, the animation style sucks with that show.
Hmm. Okay. So number two, what do you got?
The Christmas Carol 1949. A Christmas Carol was a 1949 syndicated black and white television special narrated by Vincent Price.
Well, this is shocking because I've never heard of this before. And I'm
it's in public domain, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah,
are you sure?
Yeah, there's no trailer for this. But the like original is all over the place, and even the Internet Archive says public domain under it.
That's shocking.
So yeah, this.
I've never heard of this as public domain. I know the story of A Christmas Carol is in the public domain because it was written a couple hundred years ago or whatever. But I didn't know that this adaptation with Vincent Price was, because I've never seen it, and I'm a public domain aficionado, and this one, usually when a public domain thing skips me by, it's usually because people are mistaken that it's public domain. Now, you said you found it on Internet Archive and it was listed as public domain?
Yep, and it's all over the place too, like YouTube, and the link, the video, it's not a trailer, it's literally the whole special.
So is it him just reading the story?
He narrates it, but there's more to it than him just reading.
So, okay, well,
like the anthology where movies we watched with him where he narrated the inter segments and then we had the anthology parts, it's kind of like that.
So because Vincent Price, I would definitely want to see it. I'd have to do a little bit more research, but sometimes newer items do fall in the public domain for a variety of reasons. And sometimes people just think it's public domain. And if nobody goes after them, then it kind of just gets spread. So you got to remember, if something gets spread, for example, if you wanted to share, I don't know what you think of your content, but if you wanted to share my content, I would not ding it in any way, shape, or form, and I never will. I don't So that is an example of I could maybe do something if I wanted to, but I don't want to, so I'm not gonna. So there are other things, and also companies that were in charge of the copyright that no longer exists, or people that just don't care. People that don't care, and so on. My roommate is trying to tell me to shut up, but I'm not going to. So, yeah, there are things that you know, things that sort of are technically not in the public domain that appear as though they might be in the public domain. So it is what it is. But yeah, so if nobody's kind of get at caring, then that's good enough reason to sort of consider it sort of public domain. But anyway, let's check out the trailer.
Like I said, not a trailer, it's the whole video. So it's 25 minutes.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, okay. So we won't
watch the whole thing because we don't have the time for the whole thing.
But if you are you giving a link to your articles?
Yeah.
Well, give the, you know, I guess if you want to watch that one, you're going to watch the whole thing. So click on the link down below and you will be taken to this page, and then you can watch the whole Vincent Price movie, the king of horror acting, if you ask me. Anyway, what do you got for number one?
A Christmas Carol from 2004. Miser Ebenezer Scrooge is awakened on Christmas Eve by spirits who reveal to him his own miserable existence, what opportunities he wasted in his youth, his current cruelties, and the dire fate that awaits him if he does not change his ways. Scrooge is faced with his own story of growing bitterness and meanness, and must decide what his own future will hold, death or redemption.
Okay, let's check out the trailer.
Abundance, charity, goodwill toward men. Get with the spirit, 'cause you're gonna hear it again.
To understand the present, learn from the past.
You love nothing quite so much as gold, Ebenezer.
I helped you both get started. My dear Scrooge!
He was my only friend. I hope to be another man from what I was, but the night is waning fast, and it is precious time to me. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
Now it's your turn, Ebenezer! Take it!
Why, it's I, your Uncle Scrooge.
God bless us, everyone.
Why is that your number one pick?
The music. In particular, there's one song called Link by Link, which is Marley's ghost singing, and a couple hundred background ghosts that go over the top with design. It's how they, it's like one is like literally just a severed head, and then there's a bunch of other ones.
Cool.
So yeah, there's that one song in particular is what put this on the number one spot.
Okay, well, that is a pretty cool list, and you can find it at the link below. Thanks for having me on, Agent.
Glad to have you.
And I guess we will see you in a future video.
Yep.
Talk to you later.
This is John D. Hyena, Agent of Social Media Chaos, signing off. Yeah, ha, 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 ha.